Hello, my name is Kurt Joman, and I am the author of the book, A Soliton and Its Owned Bions, Awareness and Mind. In this recording, I will read a specific part of my book, and during this reading, whenever I say the word okay, that marks the beginning of added commentary by me that is not in my book. At the time of this recording, it is 2018, and I am 62 years old. Okay, in this recording, I'm going to first read the last paragraph in section 9.7, and then the first two footnotes, footnote 152 and footnote 153, attached to that last paragraph. In total, about 1,900 words. Okay, let's begin. Quote, at the onset of the lucid dream stage of the afterlife, because one no longer has a body, neither a physical body nor an afterlife bion body, the after-death reallocations have nowhere to go except to one's mental abilities. Thus, for a typical person, as experienced by his awareness, there are large increases in the areas of intelligence, memory recall, and perhaps also certain emotions. Okay, so now I'm going to begin reading footnote 152. Quote, a specific reallocation that probably happens in the afterlife to many people, perhaps most people, no later than very early in the lucid dream stage of the afterlife, is that one regains the same ability one had as a young child to easily learn whatever spoken languages one is exposed to. And this implies a substantial allocation of awareness particle input channels to the mind part or parts involved in learning a new spoken language. The reason for this reallocation is that the spoken language or languages that are widely used in the lucid dream stage of the afterlife will be languages that are efficient for use in the lucid dream environment, whereas human languages, such as English, are efficient for use in the physical environment of our physical world. Thus, regaining the ability one had as a young child to easily learn new spoken languages will allow one to quickly learn whatever new language or languages one is exposed to in the lucid dream stage of the afterlife. However, because a large allocation is needed to have the language learning ability that one had as a small child, I think it likely that soon after one has learned the new spoken language or languages that one is exposed to in the lucid dream stage of the afterlife, that for a typical person, at least most of that large language learning allocation will be reallocated elsewhere. In the lucid dream stage of the afterlife, one's physical body and bion body are both gone. One is just an awareness mind. And instead of living in a world of physical matter, one now lives in a world of decommon matter, and in general, living with decommon matter is a very different experience than living with physical matter. The most prominent difference is that, unlike with physical matter, one's human mind has a direct manipulative ability over nearby decommon matter, including an ability to create and destroy decommon matter. Additionally, besides this different common particle environment, there are other things in the lucid dream stage of the afterlife that will increase the need for a different spoken language than the language one spoke as a physically embodied human, including but not limited to the following. Okay, now I give a list of three reasons, and I'll just read the reasons in order. Quote, a different intellectual environment after the after-death reallocations that happen no later than very early in the lucid dream stage of the afterlife. In the typical case, one's awareness is going to experience a greater and broader intelligence than the intelligence one had when one was still alive in the physical world. In general, the average IQ of humans in the lucid dream stage of the afterlife is substantially higher than the average IQ of humans still in their physical bodies, and that by itself will increase the pressure for a different spoken language than whatever human languages one used when alive in the physical world. Okay, next item in the list. Quote, a different sensory environment. All the body feelings are gone, and there is no sense of touch, no sense of smell, and no sense of taste in the lucid dream stage of the afterlife, and no food or water to consume. Another difference is how one moves in the lucid dream environment and how it feels during high-speed movement. A new vocabulary with narrow definitions is needed for efficiently talking about all aspects of moving in the lucid dream environment, because such movements are going to be frequent in the lucid dream environment. Okay, next item in this list. Quote, a different emotional environment. For example, the allocation for the fear emotion, if one had an allocation for the fear emotion when one was still alive in the physical world, can safely be reallocated elsewhere because one no longer has a vulnerable physical body that the fear emotion protected. Assuming this reallocation happens for a typical person, during the lucid dream stage of the afterlife, that person will not experience any fear. Okay, so that's the end of that list of three items. So let's continue with the footnote text. Quote, instead of there being just one universally used spoken language in the lucid dream stage of the afterlife, it is probably more likely that there are a number of different spoken languages used in the lucid dream stage of the afterlife that evolved in the past from different human languages. For example, given a man whose human language was English, early in the lucid dream stage of his afterlife, he will probably associate with other afterlife residents whose human language was also English, and the language he will then learn and use in the lucid dream stage of the afterlife will be an afterlife language evolved from English. Also, at least some afterlife residents may be multilingual, having learned several different spoken languages that are used in the lucid dream stage of the afterlife. Also, spoken languages are living languages and continue to evolve as needed over time. For example, given how computers and computer programs are a recent feature of human life for many people, English words and phrases such as computers and computer programs might be recent loan words into one or more of the afterlife languages. Regarding the efficiency of spoken languages, note that, in general, in a given language, the shorter and more easily said words consisting of one or two syllables are the more frequently used words in that spoken language, which means that the definitions that have been assigned to those shorter and more easily said words are definitions of things that, on average, are spoken of more frequently than the things that have been assigned to the longer and less easily said words. In a human language, a lot of the shorter and more easily said words are used for common physical objects, including also many of the words having to do with our physical bodies. In the lucid dream stage of the afterlife, there are no physical objects and no physical bodies. So probably many of the shorter and more easily said human language words are reused in the lucid dream stage of the afterlife with new or modified definitions for those spoken words. Also, given that the vowels and consonants of human speech are limited to the sounds that can be made by the human voice box, the larynx, and given that in the lucid dream stage of the afterlife, spoken words are communicated to others telepathically by one's unconscious mind and not communicated as vibrations in the air, it follows that at least some of the spoken languages used in the lucid dream stage of the afterlife may have at least some of their words using sounds that cannot be closely duplicated by human speech. Okay, so that's the end of footnote 152. I'm now going to read footnote 153. Quote, "Also, regarding reallocations that happen for the lucid dream stage of the afterlife, perhaps for a typical person the reallocations include a large enough allocation for music listening pleasure to make listening to what that person's mind judges as good music very pleasurable. Many lucid dream projectionists have had incidents of hearing music that sounded very good to them. I had one such incident myself that I still remember decades later. It is August 2015 as I write this sentence, in which I saw a man nearby in that lucid dream who appeared to be playing what looked like a stringed instrument on his lap, and the music that I heard was a fast and very beautiful sequence of notes that sounded to me like they could have come from some kind of stringed instrument. Note that when I was having lucid dream projections, beginning at age 19 and continuing up to age 25, see chapter 10, I already had an allocation for music listening pleasure. If instead I didn't already have an allocation for music listening pleasure, then in that lucid dream I still might have consciously heard that music, but I would not have felt any pleasure from hearing it. And I thus assume that those lucid dream projectionists who report hearing pleasurable music during a lucid dream already have an allocation for music listening pleasure as I did. Also, note that in each incident of hearing music in a lucid dream projection, either the heard music was a construction of the lucid dream projectionist's own unconscious mind, or the heard music was in the mind of a nearby person in that lucid dream who sent that music as a stream of messages to the mind of the lucid dream projectionist. In my own case, it certainly appeared that the music I heard was produced by that person I saw playing that apparent stringed instrument, and I assume that person was indeed the source of that music that I heard and remembered. In the lucid dream stage of the afterlife, and assuming one has a substantial allocation for music listening pleasure, one may well become, at least for a while, a member of a music club in which oneself and others are at times actively composing in their minds instrumental music and or other kinds of music and or songs to be sung, and then sharing their creations with others in that club and perhaps with others elsewhere. In such a club, listening to good music and feeling pleasure from it may be a commonplace activity. Regarding communities and interest groups in the lucid dream stage of the afterlife, just as one may have various interests that change over time in one's human life, the same is probably true during one's life in the lucid dream stage of the afterlife. For example, besides possibly being a member in some music club as suggested above, one may eventually grow tired of that club and switch to a different club whose members, for example, work on mental puzzles and or games, or perhaps, for example, join a math club, or a storyteller's club, or an acting club, such as a theater group that puts on plays. There are so many different possibilities. Also, one may concurrently be a member and active participant in several different clubs, only leaving a club after losing interest, or after wanting to spend more time in a different club, The possibilities are many regarding the different kinds of active clubs that are in the lucid dream stage of the afterlife, so as to both pass the time and also, in effect, to exercise the different parts of one's unconscious mind. In the lucid dream environment, regarding how one's mind sends messages when speaking to or singing to or playing music for a nearby audience, which may include strangers, persons who do not have an entry in one's soliton directory, and or non-strangers for whom one's mind is currently unaware of their presence in the audience. To send messages that will be received by everyone in the above-described audience, which has an uncertain membership, the correct way is to send own mind's broadcast messages, section 5.1.1. For example, in the lucid dream described above, during which I heard music that a nearby man was playing, his mind was probably sending that music as a stream of own mind's broadcast messages. Note that I didn't recognize him, so I'm guessing we were strangers to each other. Instead of sending owned mind's broadcast messages to a nearby audience of certain and or uncertain membership, one's mind can send the same messages to a small list of one or more known persons. Each known person has an entry in one's soliton directory. By using the list of bions parameter of the send statement to identify the intended recipient or recipients of the sent messages, for each intended recipient person of the sent messages, the unique identifier of that person's messaging with other own mind's bion, which is in one soliton directory, is added to the list of bions parameter. Thus, for example, one could telepathically talk to three specific friends simultaneously without anyone else within range of the sent messages being able to hear what one is saying. Okay, that's the end of footnote 153, and that ends this recording.